Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus also said, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes during the middle of the night, or draws near and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. So I've got this problem. Well, I've got many problems, but this is just one of the many problems I have. So sometimes on my day off, I sleep in pretty late. And then when I finally get up, I know that there are a lot of things that need to get done. I've got to do laundry, I've got to go grocery shopping, I've got to go cleaning, exercise, make meals for the week. And I know I only have one day a week to cram it all in. But I just woke up, and it's 9 o'clock. I've got the whole day, right? So I make some tea, and I listen to the news, I play around on Facebook, I read some things on the websites like CNN or Fox News, maybe you do that one or other ones, right, BBC, I check Instagram, and then suddenly my phone dings. It's 11 a.m. already. And spin class is in 15 minutes. So I run around my house, and I'm throwing on clothes, and I'm throwing things in my gym bag, running down the street. I get in there, I get ready, I take the class, I walk outside, and it's a gorgeous day. So naturally, it means it's time for a walk, right? So I start walking around, and before I know it, it's 3 o'clock. I haven't showered, haven't done laundry, haven't cleaned, haven't gone to the grocery store, haven't cooked a darn thing, and I've got dinner plans at 5. My day has gone haywire. Why? Why? Well, because I think I wasn't so clear on my priorities for the day. Well, today's gospel reading is also about priorities. Jesus called us to prioritize our lives and activities in a way that gives us eternal life. It's a call to center or even recenter our lives on God and that which matters. Now, while this might seem extremely difficult in our world of competing interests, it is essential for our lives as Christians. So, let's unpack this story just a little bit to get a glimpse of what's going on. First, we have Jesus, who finished up a vignette on money, which started way back in verse 22, but we didn't read all of that vignette today. Yet the important part, though, is that he started this whole vignette saying the exact same thing that he's ending this vignette with today. He said, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid." This is not what the world reminds us of. This is not what the news websites remind us of. The world wants us to be in fear. So take a quick moment and think about what the world says we should fear. What does the world say we should fear? Do we have any examples that we want to share? This is the only time I'm going to ask
for feedback today. So, any examples? Violence. Yeah. We fear that we shouldn't walk in on the streets, we shouldn't go to the south side of Chicago, shouldn't go on the far west side. We might just get a bullet in ourselves, right? We fear that we shouldn't do anything but put our hands on the steering wheel and we get pulled over, or we might not make it home alive. Violence. What else do we fear? Zika virus. Hello, Rio, right? We fear that we should... The Zika virus, the Olympics, we can think about all that. How about one more fear? Terrorism. Yeah. Should we even go to the Olympics? Should we even go to a Cubs game, a Sox game, a Bears game? Should we walk outside our door? Should we go to churches? Even churches are having terrorism now. We fear, or we're told to fear, so many things. We should fear immigrants because they might take our jobs. We hear that we should fear Muslims because they might kill us. We hear that we must fear Trump, or we hear that we should fear Hillary. Fear, fear, fear. And sure, there are so many things to fear in the world, but here again in Luke, we're reminded not to be afraid. We're reminded not to be afraid of being coerced by our God. You see, after all, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's divine pleasure to give you the kingdom, not to make you work for it in some kind of works righteousness way. You don't get the kingdom if you do or say or be everything that is correct. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here today. Jesus is saying it is his divine pleasure to give you the kingdom. Period. Now, how do I know that? Because it doesn't seem all that clear in English. But you see, if we were to jump back to the Greek, we would see that the verb that expresses divine pleasure stands in the aorist tense. So what does that mean? Well, that means that it's God's decision to give us the kingdom, and it's a completed action in the past. In other words, it's God's delightful decision, and it's already taken place. We're not working to convince God that we're good enough. Instead, God has already delighted to give us the kingdom. So we shouldn't let anyone try to make us think that we need to earn God's kingdom or that we can earn God's favor, because you already have God's favor. Now, that is important for understanding the next part of the text. Okay, so let's keep going then, right? So then there's the stuff about, like, selling everything, right? We don't like that as much. We don't want to have to say we need to sell our stuff. So let's keep going, because Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, be careful here, because it's not where your heart is, there your treasure will be. But lots of pastors and churches want to tell you that. No, it's for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, two quick things to unpack this. First, treasure. What does it mean by treasure? Sure, Jesus is talking about money, right? So we think about, you know, right? We've got the pirates out there looking for treasure, right? So we think of gold, silver, jewels, diamonds, which are a girl's or boy's best friend. And we can also take that noun, treasure, and make it into a verb, like when we explain how we treasure or value a particular item. For example, a family photograph. And as a verb, we can treasure something that might have little or no monetary worth to another person, right? So when it says treasure here, what it means is what you value and what you prioritize. Second thing to note about that phrase, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heart, now, it doesn't mean that organ inside your chest, but it actually means your emotion, feeling, and your intellect. You see, ancients didn't separate out their head and their heart and their gut as we often want to do. Emotion, feeling, and logic were all seated into one place, and that for ancients was the heart. they recognized how intertwined these three things were in a more holistic way than sometimes we do. So when it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, it's saying where you put your priorities, where you put your values, is where your whole self can be found. So, this of course does include money, right? After all, I care way more about something that I'm financially invested in. I care way more about this faith community. I care way more about our country when I'm actually investing in the country or I'm investing in my faith community. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where we also spend our time and what we spend our time thinking about is where we find our full selves. You see, we're more likely to notice the homeless person when we're looking for the homeless person. We're more likely to notice racism when we talk about racism. We're more likely to notice sexism when we talk about sexism. We're more likely to love others when we prioritize loving others. We're more likely to find our full selves in what or where we place value. So today's gospel challenges you to ask, where are your priorities today? Do you have them in the right place? Do you spend your time doing things that you value? Because remember, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And sometimes I think summer is the perfect time for this reading. It's a perfect time to reflect on our priorities, especially when we're removed from our daily life. Being away from it all can allow us to stop and reflect and really understand what do we value. So take a quick moment to think about your priorities. Maybe you need to be pretending you're on a beach or in the mountains. But where are your priorities today? Do you even know what your priorities are? Can you name them? If I asked you to list your top three priorities in life, could you name them today? Or do you need to do some soul searching this week to either find your priorities or realign them with what matters? Well, Luke is here to help once again. Because Luke is going to help us understand what our priorities should be. You see, in the next few verses, there are clues. There are clues to what our priorities should be. And it doesn't look easy. We heard that we need to be alert with lamps lit and dressed for action. Now, that phrase can sound like a command, or it could be an invitation, depending on how you perceive it. You see, one author suggests that the difference between a command and an invitation is only on how it strikes you. A command can feel like coercion, and an invitation feels like freedom. Remember, the kingdom is already yours. So this last part of the text here isn't about justification, but it's about vocation. You already have the promise of the kingdom, and the promise always leads to freedom. Always. I don't often say always, so this is really important. It always leads to freedom. Because we have the promise that God's divine desire is to give us all the good things, so then we are always freed to give it away, to care for others, to love ourselves in service, and to find our security and confidence not in our earthly possessions or accomplishments, but rather in relationship to God. So if that doesn't make sense yet, hear this from David Foster. He says, everyone worships something. Everyone worships something. Everyone has a choice to choose what to worship or to prioritize. He says, if you worship money or things, you will never have enough. If you worship your body or beauty or sex, then you're always going to feel ugly. And when the time goes by and you're all aged, you're going to die a million deaths, he says. If you worship power, you're constantly going to feel weak and afraid and need to seek more power. If it's your intellect you worship, you'll always feel stupid and you'll feel like a fraud. You see, these are the things that are unconscious that we treasure. Or as Foster puts it, it's the default things we worship. And every single day, we fall into this default mode. Every day, we fall into our default mode of worship. And so we need to be reminded. Every day, we need to be reminded by our God that we can step outside of this default mode. You see, as Foster puts it, the really important kind of freedom involves attention and awareness and discipline, and being able to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over in a myriad of petty, unsexy ways every single day. And that is the real freedom. And the alternative is unconsciousness, that default setting, the rat race of life. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus shares that example of being dressed for action to emphasize that we have been given everything good, and so that we can see the world as an abundant gift from a generous God. Go ahead and take your hands right now. Put them out in front of you. I know it's getting hot, so I'm going to make you do something that I didn't plan. Grasp them tight. There we go. And then open them up. Come on, Brandon, you can do this. Grasp them tight. There we go. Open them back up. Neither sharing nor receiving is possible when our hands are grasped and our fingers are clenched. You can put your hands down. You see, it's in discovering where our priorities are that we discover where our full self is located. If we prioritize giving, serving, and being ready to serve, then we have our hands open in readiness to receive. As one author reminds us, human sinfulness encourages us to believe that the giving instead of taking will lead to destitution, deprivation, and desperation. But the gospel promise, however, the gospel promises that giving from what we have will make us mindful of the God of blessing and ready to receive the gifts that God offers. Because the less that we want to have, then the less we need to have. The less we need to have, the less we need to fear. The less we need to fear, the more we know that a life of giving allows us always to live, not on the brink of destruction, but to live on the brink of blessing, where we can readily hear that our God comes to bless us and to bring us peace. So there it is. Here's the end of it all. And here's the beginning. Where are your priorities? Do you put your value in things of this world? Do you value status, money, success, perfection? Do those values leave you afraid? By nature, they do. So put your treasure, put your values on being and not on having. Put your priorities on things such as God and service and grace and acceptance and openness and love. And then, and only then, will you live life eternal. For where your treasure is, there, your heart will be also. Amen.